Everybody, Happy New Year. It's January 1st, 2022.
Oh, yeah, Happy New Year. That's right. Happy New Year.
The pandemic is still raging. Roman Reigns has COVID. He'll probably be dead. But you know what Pat McAfee said? We're just going to move on. Did you hear him say that at the start of the show?
You know what was really interesting? They, like, fully acknowledged COVID multiple times on the show, which is very refreshing.
Well,
do you remember when they would just act like it, like they just act like it didn't exist?
Well, it's because Roman has it. They have to like, but like yeah. Pat McAfee was like, "We're just
so many times."
Yeah. Because I don't think they want to make it look like Roman is scared or ducked Brock. They want to make it like, no, this is a legit reason why we're not going to do this match. Because that was probably the biggest draw of the night was that match. And then
the biggest draw of the match, the only match that I actually had wanted to watch was Roman versus a Lesnar, right? Mm-hmm. But this was one of those like happy accidents. It actually ended up being better.
We'll see. Yeah, because I heard so they pulled Heyman and Roman from all the house shows, and apparently whatever the angle was supposed to happen at the end of the Roman Brock match was going to set up the main storyline for Mania. And then they obviously it didn't happen. I can't imagine Big E or Bobby or anybody would have been involved. But clearly they had to change everything today. But let's get into it. Let's start with the show.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you called me around like 5 o'clock, I almost wanted to tell you like I don't really want to do it because I was like, man, I don't want to fucking sit through 4 hours of boring WWE. But I am so glad we did this because it actually ended up being a really good show. At least I thought it was a very fun show.
Oh, I didn't think it was that good.
Really, there were some parts that were stinky, but there was parts that were really good. It starts off with a kickoff. Did you watch the kickoff?
Yeah, I watched the kickoff.
Okay, so it's supposed to be Sheamus and Ridge Holland, the hooligans or whatever, the ruffians, versus Cesaro and Ricochet, who comes out with this fire gear. It's like it looks like Bam Bam Bigelow gear, kind of. Right away in the beginning of this match, Ricochet and Cesaro, they try to do this assisted like flip onto Ridge Holland, who's laying on the mat, and as Ricochet flips, he comes down foot first and stomps right on Ridge Holland's face, breaks his nose. He gushes blood almost immediately. He rolls out. He is no longer in this match. It just essentially is a handicap match. Sheamus, he hits white noise on Ricochet outside the ring, and then he hits a bro kick on Cesaro for the clean victory, basically. Like a handicap match. He beat both of these guys. Sheamus wins. What did you think?
I hated this match. I hated that I'm watching this and I'm like, dude, we're having this mass spreader event so people can watch a Sheamus match in 2022. And that's fine. You want to have Sheamus on the roster. There is no way. You want to have Sheamus beat Ricochet? You want to have Sheamus beat Cesaro? That's fine. There is no way Sheamus should be beating these guys. They should have, when Ridge Holland got injured, they should have just changed the finish on the fly.
See, that's what I was thinking too. When I first saw this match happening, I was automatically was like, okay, Sheamus and Ridge Holland are going to win because they want to push this new guy. And as soon as he got injured, like right away in the beginning, and they were like, he's left, he's gone, he's no longer this match. I was like, oh, they're probably going to change this on the fly now, right? And I was thinking just like, I was like, they're going to change it now. They did.
It made them look like you might as well just fire those two guys. Like, I'm sorry, but you're like this is why. So nobody really got a pop until Brock Lesnar came out. And it's because you constantly remind us that everybody in the roster is a fucking loser besides like four guys. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't say that. But this match definitely did.
Cesaro, but like, no one's ever gonna believe if Ricochet wins the Royal Rumble, it's like challenges Roman Reigns. Let's just pretend no one's gonna buy that he can beat Roman Reigns. It's just no one's gonna get into it. Like you just ruined these two guys for and Sheamus. I mean, one thing, this was like 10 years ago, and these guys were, but like Sheamus is so fucking so done, dude. It's like, dude, he's just been getting people over.
Yeah. Do you think Ricochet was wearing those tights ironically to like? Is it a message? Like, please fire me. Like, I don't want to be there anymore.
No, I don't think he's that smart. I know what you're saying with the fire. I don't think. Yeah.
He's like, I'm wearing fire ties. Fire me. I don't want to be here anymore.
I think he just thinks fire's cool. I think fire's cool.
Yeah.
But it just made, you know, like Cesaro's whatever, but like it just made Ricochet look so fucking bad. It just
they really should have changed the finish of this match.
I hate it. They don't believe
in either Cesaro or Ricochet at all. WWE does
which
not.
Which is fine. But like, I mean, just fire them then, tonight. Right now, just fire both these guys. They made them look so fucking stupid.
Dude, Pat McAfee.
They made them look borderline helpless. Like, why did Sheamus even ever team with Cesaro if he's that bad?
Yeah. Sheamus basically, like, in this, but he beat them clean, by the way. Like, he beat them clean. There was no cheating, no steel chair, nothing.
Yeah, like, or at least have him cheat, bro. This was, I can see him beating clean if Rich Holland was in the match. That's fine.
Yeah.
But, dude, this was, like, so fucking stupid. No one's over.
Cesaro and Ricochet, they just don't believe in them. The company doesn't believe them. That's not the company's fault, and that's not these wrestlers' fault.
But then, there's no point in making them look this stupid. Like, just fire them.
You know what I think they're trying to do? Right. I think WWE is trying to devalue them and then release them.
That's probably what they're going to do, yeah.
Yeah, what they did with John Morrison and so forth. Just really devalue them to the point where there's, like Keith Slater level, and then just get rid of them. Which is probably what they're close. They're getting there. They're definitely getting there.
Oh, Ricochet's definitely getting there.
Yeah, he's definitely getting there. What do you call it? By the way, Pat McAfee's awesome on commentary. He said something about Toblerone in this match that fucking cracked up Michael Cole. And it was, this guy's great. I can't believe this guy's like a new commentator. We're going to go right into the main show. There's over 13,000 people at Atlanta, Georgia for the show. And this was a hot crowd for points of the match, of the show. They were this first match, it's Usos versus the New Day for the tag team titles. I noticed that, what's his name? Woods was wearing like X-Men gear. Was he wearing X-Men gear again as well?
It didn't seem like X-Men.
Oh, okay. Cause it was blue and yellow. I thought it was, but maybe it's not. This was a very good match. Crowd is super into this match, and they end up hitting the Usos end up hitting 3D, their version of 3D, the Dudley's move on Kofi Kingston, board of victory. Pat McAfee dubs it. It's the 1D, which it's actually pretty cool. It makes sense because the Usos used to stay day one and so forth, and it's, you know,
day one pay-per-view.
And then he did give a shout out. Pat McAfee did give a shout out to the Dudleys. So I really like this match. Usos retained. What did you think?
I didn't like this match.
You didn't like this match? What didn't you like?
That's a good I just have seen it too many times. It's just the same shit.
You know what? That's the case. We've seen this matchup, yes, multiple mm-hmm. times. This wasn't even their best matchup. They've had better. I remember there was.
It starts off with Sheamus, and then it just feels like nothing ever changes. Then you have the New Day versus Usos. It just seems like it felt like a very stagnant the entire company with these two matches starting as well.
It did feel that way, but I thought this was a very fun match.
I didn't like it.
They busted out some new moves during this match, including the 3D, the things that they don't normally do. So I personally liked it, but I can understand why he did it. It's like the same. You're right. It is the same matchup.
It's the same match. It's like, I'm so tired of seeing these two teams. And it's just a certain point where there's certain matchups. I just know. Like, I never want to see John Cena versus Randy Orton again. I don't care if it's 10 years from now. There's an incredible storyline. There's a crazy gimmick. I just don't want to see it.
Like, it's fair. It's fair. Mm-hmm. We get a Big E video package just kind of showing you how he rose to the top. And then Kevin Patrick is interviewing Big E. Big E is one of his goofy/serious promos, which I don't really like. I wasn't into that at all. But, you know, everyone's going to be giving their take on Brock Lesnar. And then Kayla's in the back with Migos. Migos is there, who provided a theme for tonight's show. And they just give some fucking stupid thing about her. We might be in the ring. Like, get the fuck out. Anything to add about these stupid fucking promo segments?
No, they're terrible. Also, did you just see the commercials on Peacock?
Yeah, and you can't fast forward them.
it's fucking horrendous, the number of commercials they had tonight. It was really
bad. Oh, my God, yeah. So I was watching this on delay, guys. I came in on Peacock. What you could do now, it's been available for now for a while, is that you can come in the middle of a pay-per-view and you can start all the way from the beginning, you know, just like the network used to have. And I just fast-forward through a lot of commercials and I fast-forward through some interests I don't want to see. But now Peacock will put in this, like, I feel like it's like a two-minute block or more of just commercials you cannot fast-forward.
Dude, there were so many commercials for the Real Housewives of Miami. I'm like, who the fuck watching this pay-per-view is going to want... Oh, you see, now it's called a premium live event. They don't want to call it a pay-per-view.
See, that's the weird thing, too. It's like commercials about fucking Peacock. If you're like, I'm already... Like, I already own Peacock. I already am watching
it. I think it's they want you to watch other things besides WWE, but I'm just not... Real Housewives, I'm not going to watch Real Housewives. No one I know that sat home tonight to watch this fucking stupid pay-per-view is going to watch the Real... It's just fucking stupid. Yeah. I think if you get the $10 tire, you don't see these commercials. Because if you notice a couple of times, they cut back too soon and they were, like, showing you wrestling stuff on the... I think they're not showing you, like, they're, like, doing more interviews and stuff in the back.
You know what they should do? They should do on the ads. They should say, hey, if you do a $10 here, you won't see these ads anymore. That's what they should say.
Yeah.
You know?
It was bad. It kind of ruined the flow of the show, too.
It was, like, rather long. But I was like, yeah, it is whatever. They did do the commercials during the talking segments.
Also, let's be honest, we're paying $5. 10 years ago, we were paying $45. So
exactly, yeah. I'm not really complaining. That's fine. They have Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind on the Peacock, so I'm okay. And Roseanne. So to me, it's a win-win. Match number two. It is Madcap Moss versus Drew McIntyre. Corbin's in the ring. They're saying the shitty jokes because that's his gimmick. He tells unfunny jokes, which I actually do love this gimmick.
I hate it.
You do? Oh, man. So
Matt, I mean, it's better than what he was doing 2 years ago, but I fucking hate it.
Yeah. Drew McIntyre hits the Claymore on Moss for the win in what I thought was actually a pretty good match for Moss. First time singles match in a pay-per-view. He did a fucking great job, I thought. What did you think?
Hated it.
What did you hate about this match?
It just went too long. I know Drew's going to win. I don't think Madcap Moss is that good. It's just, I know Drew's going to, there's no surprises in this feud. Like, short of Madcap Moss pulling out a gun and shooting fucking Drew. I know. And then you know what else has kind of ruined Drew is the sword. Here's why. Yeah. He's never going to use the sword. So first of all, if he does use the sword and it's like blunted and no one gets cut, he looks like a fucking idiot. He's carrying on a fake sword. And if he does hit a guy with a sword and it's real, he's going to kill them. So I know he's never going to use the sword. So, but they keep having him swing at people with the sword. And it's like, no, like, I know you're not going to use it. Like, I know, like, and if, like, you know my point that if he hits somebody with it and it doesn't cut them, he looks like a fucking retard walking around a fake sword.
Yeah. You know what it is? Like, Drew McIntyre doesn't have a character. So, like... Junior's like, you need to have a character. You're fucking Scottish. That's your character.
And I saw Braveheart last week after 20 years. So
it would have been, I don't know why he couldn't let him carry around bagpipes. Is that too much Piper-ish? That's why?
Yeah, it's too, like a different, like maybe like a hammer or a baseball bat, like just something.
Yeah, but those aren't Scottish.
I don't paint it the Scottish colors. Just something that I would believe it, you know, he could. Because if you have like the Triple H's sledgehammer, you know he might hit that sometimes. He might actually land with that. But you know it's not going to murder the guy. So you're like, oh, and also they could take it from Triple H and use it on him. It was an effective weapon. Whereas this is like he's never going to use it.
Yeah. It is what it is. I
just thought this match was way too long. It was I don't need this to go this long.
It was long, but I thought Moss looked really good. I was interested because it's like his first. Dude, he took a really good turnbuckle bump. Just that bump he took, he looked amazing. It looked like it killed him, and he gets up right away. I was like, this is pretty good. There's a point where he's trying to fall away. He catches Drew and he stumbles, but he regains his balance and does a fall away slam. That was great. And this guy's doing it in shitty gear. He's wearing like fucking suspenders that was all over his fucking.
I just think the gimmick is so stupid. I don't take even later on what happens. I just don't take it. I'm just waiting for Drew to win. Like it's not compelling.
Yeah, it's not compelling, but it was good. I thought it was a good show, Mom. So I liked it.
I think you should be arrested.
Kevin Owens in the back talking about Brock Lesnar, because remember, all the main event guys have to give their take on Brock Lesnar. And Kevin Owens is doing this thing where he's fucking like on fire, going all over the place. And then there's a point where he goes, you know what I'm going to do? This is what I'm going to do. And he just fucking pauses because I think he forgot his line. And then he goes, oh, I'm going to talk to Seth. He goes, I'm going to talk to Seth. And he leaves. Dude, I really think he forgot what he was supposed to say.
Yeah,
and he
probably.
Just stood there. Like, and then he just goes, oh, I want to talk to Seth. I thought that was really funny. Reminded me of Matt Riddle, forgot his line. He was like, oh, I'm so sorry, guys.
Oh, that's Oscar. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, I thought that was like part of the character and they were going to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't.
They should
have. Like, he just legit forgot.
They should have.
Oh, man, that's so funny. Speaking of Matt Riddle. Match number three, it is the Street Profits versus RK-Bro, Randy Orton, and Matt Riddle. They come out with Migos. Dude, I legit thought Migos was like one rapper. I didn't know it was like three guys. I was just like, oh,
yeah, Migos
shit.
Is a pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah. This was a fun match. The Street Profits were playing heel in this match. Montez Ford was fantastic. He's got so much charisma. And basically, RKO hits an assisted RKO on Montez Ford, which is basically another 3D at the end of the day. If you look at it, 3D. But anyway, RK-Bro ends up retaining. And then afterwards, Migos in the ring, and everybody shakes hands, everybody's friends, and everybody walks away. I like this match. Did you not like this one?
No, this match I really liked.
Yeah, this was really good.
All teams had good chemistry. I think RKO is a pretty good team. Like, they had a really good match at SummerSlam with AJ Styles and almost
RK-Bro.
Yeah, I'm sorry, RK-Bro. Did I say rated RKO or something?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. No, you just called it RKO.
They had a really good match at Survivor Series with the Usos. There's like a different dynamic where, see, the thing with the New Day Usos, it's the same dynamic I've seen for years. Yeah. But both these teams are so different. I kind of feel like the New Day needs to break up. You don't have to have them feud, but they need to just go away from each other. Like, bad.
Yeah, but how are you going to do that? Because there's only two brands. So you put somebody
I would put Kofi on NXT or something, or NXT. Okay. I would just send them away. I would just do something like... But Street Profits should be... Their matches are always different. They're exciting. I really do think Montez Ford, I think this is the year they have to invest in him. Maybe if they want to wait till after Mania and do like they did with Bret Hart, where the two guys go there. I mean, like, yeah, this was a really good match, dude. Everybody flowed. I think the only thing that ruined the match was Migos being there, but they didn't really ruin it that much.
Yeah, they didn't really do anything. They didn't get involved, but they weren't even on commentary, which I like. You know, they just sat there.
Yeah, I don't think these. I don't. What are they going to say on commentary? Yeah, Randy Orton. Yeah.
I will say, I've said this years ago, but I called Bianca Belair and Montez Ford. They're going to be huge.
Yeah, you said it 2 years ago, bro.
Yeah. I still believe in Montez Ford.
I definitely think, yeah, Montez Ford do it. And then, like, he was a good heel in this match. And
Yeah,
they got it. Yeah, this was good. This was good. I'm tired of the Usos and the New Day. The Street Profits are where it's at. Like, that, they should be they have the Street Profits. They should actually have the Street Profits beat Usos at Mania or something.
That'd be didn't Montez Ford look like he got it bulked up a little bit more too.
Yeah.
He was really skinny for a time, but now he looked like he bulked up.
He probably knows something's coming down the road. So.
Yeah. All right. So we got Megan in the back and she's talking to Drew. Drew is also doing this new thing where his promos are like half jokey, half serious, which is like, just go one way or the other. Don't go this midway. You're not John Cena. It doesn't flow. Even he didn't do it well. You know, mm-hmm. What makes you think you're going to do it well? Yeah. He gets attacked by Moss and Corbin, and then he put like a fucking steel chair on his head. And then they fucking take this huge metal thing and they fucking throw it on him and he's like, ugh. Adam Pearce is there. He's like, go get him. He's hurt. Yeah. And so it's continuing. It's probably going
to
be.
I know. I fucking hated that. When I saw, I was like, who wants this to continue? Yeah. Who wants this? But anyway.
Kayla is in the back. She interviews Brock Lesnar and Brock Lesnar is imitating Paul Heyman. Basically, he is speaking like Paul Heyman, and he does a pretty, I thought was a pretty good, decent promo. It sounded pretty good. It was all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to get to the dip in the show. This is match number 4, Miz versus Edge. Edge comes out with that really cool brood entrance. And this match is fucking slow. This match is slow. They do this weird table spot on the announce table where I think Edge wanted to hit like an execution or something. He just like throws him down. It looked weird. Mm-hmm. Fucking slow. People, this is where I noticed the crowd started just like getting not into the show. Because up to this point, I thought the crowd was into every single match. They try to do this weird fucking foot, like a foot on the rope spot, but Maurice was fucking missing Miz's foot. And all of a sudden, so Maurice is getting involved. And then Miz and Maurice, they look, and standing in the entranceway is Beth Phoenix. And she's just standing there making.
She's waiting for her music.
Yeah, the fucking
person who was
supposed to do her music fucked it up. They fucked it up. They were supposed to hit her music earlier. They finally hit her music.
So all of them look like idiots.
Yeah.
She had to stand there looking mad. Miz and Risa, oh no! Like, and then like they're waiting for their cue. And then the music, and then she started walking.
Exactly. And she's got this new look. Like, she's like, oh, I'm the wife of Edge, so I have to look like him now. And, you know, basically, she chases Maurice away, which allows Edge to hit the spear on Miz for Edge to win. And then they go off staring off at each other like it's not over. I did not like this match.
I'll tell you why I didn't like this match. The Miz will get destroyed in 20 seconds by Bad Bunny or Bobby Lashley. And then I'm expected to think that he can take Edge to the limit in this stupid fucking match. Like, it just is like, I just feel like it's a waste of Edge. And now, like, now that wife comes in, it's like, oh, I don't want to see this match.
WrestleMania match. Yeah.
If this is the WrestleMania match, I think Edge should quit right now. I'm hoping they do it at the Rumble and then move on. Edge needs to wrestle AJ Styles or Finn Balor or someone, or Kevin Owens, someone like that at Mania. It can't be fucking Miz at Mania. Really, it can't. This was not a good match. It's stupid. It's just so fucking dumb to have Edge struggle to beat this guy. It's just so fucking stupid. And like, cause I know when they want to, they're gonna have Miz job to like, I don't know, fucking Braun Breaker in 2 months to get him ready for whatever they have planned. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, like, it's just dumb. No one buys it. So everyone's like, They're just killing time. You can just tell. Like, it was, I didn't like this match at all. And I don't care about Beth Phoenix. I don't care about Maurice. Like, I want fucking, this is why Toni Storm left. It's like, why do these old bags have matches? But like, Sasha's not on the card. Bianca's not on the card. Dewdrop's not on the card. Toni Storm quit. Like, Sasha's not on the card. Like, why are these two having matches? Like,
some of these people who are not on the card, it could be because they have COVID.
No, but I know. But now you're planning for a feud with these two fucking dummies. And, like, they weren't even that good in their prime. Like, I don't want to see that.
I'm with you. I personally also am not interested. If the rumored match is supposed to be Miz and Maurice versus Edge and Beth Phoenix, I am not interested in that match at all.
I don't want to see that.
But I wonder if that's a match like Edge requested.
Well, then he's an idiot. Do it at the Royal Rumble and move on. That's it. Yeah. Like, but they cannot drag this. It's a waste. Dude, this guy is still old. It's a waste, and he's injury prone. He's always been injured. I mean, he got injured at the fucking greatest match of all time.
Yeah.
Why bring this guy back to fucking feud with the Miz? It's such a waste of fucking time. Like, move on, dude. Like, really.
Who would you rather? If somebody was like, all right, what's your brilliant idea? Who would he face then?
AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. AJ is someone who could have a really good match with. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a dream match since like the early 2000s. Just do that. Like, Or do Finn Balor. That's another dream match. Or do fucking Big E even. Like, there's like a lot of people that we've never seen. Let's fucking see it.
Good God, Finn Balor. I totally forgot that
He's on the roster. Yeah. Or even Shinsuke Nakamura or fucking. Did he ever fight Sheamus? Even that would be more interesting than this. Like, and I hate Sheamus. It's just, I don't buy the Miz being competitive. I just don't buy it.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
I mean, I know if Pete Davidson said he wants to wrestle, they would have him beat up the Miz. Like, I just know they would do that.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. And it's like, but then the Miz is going to be competitive with like fucking Finn Balor a week later. Like, that's so stupid.
Yeah. I didn't like this match, and I'm not into whatever's coming up. Yeah, I agree. It was a downer.
It wasn't that good of a match to make me want to see more.
I also don't think we were the only ones who feel this way because their energy in the crowd got sucked out of this.
Energy was gone. Yeah. And then also, like, the Brood, like, I just think if you're going to have them come out with the Brood stuff, don't play the other song. I don't know. And then, like, more people than they realize are annoyed that Gangrel's not part of this. Everyone I talk to is, like, pissed that Gangrel's not around.
They do this really cool Brood entrance, and then right before he gets to the ring, they stop, and then they play his regular shitty theme song. Why are you doing that?
You know, and it's like they act like they want you to remember the Brood, but they want you to think like Edge was by himself back then. It's like, you know, like I'm watching this on a network where I can go to like 1998 and watch every single Gangrel and Edge match ever. What, you know what I mean? Like, it's right there. It's not like this is hidden anymore. Like, and like in the 80s, you could pretend that like Hogan and Andre never fought because there was no VHS tapes of it. But that's not happening anymore. It's right there. Like, just fucking acknowledge. It's just stupid. I don't know. I just, everything about this was not good.
Yeah. I'm not interested in this. The crowd's dead for this. We go in the back. Kevin Patrick is with MVP and Bobby Lashley. They're talking about Lesnar. They're not worried about him at all. They're keeping their cool. And we're going to go to match number 5. It is Becky Lynch that they're now calling Big Time Bex.
They've been doing that since
They've been doing that for a bit. Yeah, I haven't been really watching, so I haven't been. But
no, we complained about this at the Saudi Arabia pay per view.
But that's like her name now, like on the fucking thing. They call her Big Time Bex.
They're really going in with this Big Time Bex thing.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like that's how they fucking her name comes up as Big Time. Like it's fucking weird. Big Time Bex versus Liv Morgan. I fucking hate that name. Liv is wearing some shitty fucking gear where it's like that fucking shin pad that covers up her knee. And it sticks out, and I feel like it was messing up a little bit of her flow. The beginning of this match, it was like they were not in sync. They were having a shitty match. The crowd was just not into this match at all.
No, they weren't. Dude, this is the other thing. They got no reaction coming out. Liv is one thing, but Big Time Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch got some reaction.
He didn't get a reaction like he usually used to. Like
she's not like she used to,
but she's not even getting boos. Like Roman gets big, like she's not. Charlotte gets. She's not getting. She didn't get any reaction. Dude, they really fucked up turning her heel because I think people aren't booing her. They just don't care anymore. Like they completely, I think, ruined her
by turning her heel. She was a time. There was a time where she was like the face of the company, and now she's just a person on the roster.
Yeah, and like there was only one faint chant was "Let's go, Becky," and then it stopped like after like 10 seconds.
Yeah, in the beginning of this match, like before this match is even starting or right when it's starting, the people are chanting for Becky. But then, as this match is happening and realize how shitty this match is, people stop chanting. Becky Lynch was wearing this jacket in her entrance where it had fucking goats, like little dog goats on the side, and it said goat on the back. And I thought it was a nice jacket, but when I watched this match, I was like, damn, you are not the goat. You are definitely not the goat. You know what happened in this match? It's Liv Morgan is just like, looks like someone who's just trying to get all her shit in. So, like, it just doesn't look like it's flowing well. But then she hits this really nice sunset flip powerbomb, which kind of starts getting the crowd into it. And the ending of the match, people are kind of getting into it a bit, but they still managed to fuck it up. So Liv Morgan's trying to do the Oblivion move on Flatliner on Becky Lynch. So Becky Lynch turns into the Manhandle Slam. And I think Becky was supposed to get her
foot on the rope.
They were too far from the fucking rope. So she ended up beating her clean. She ended up beating Liv Morgan clean. So, which is fine because I don't want to see this feud continue.
Well, I mean, I think Becky was really trying to make Liv look into bed. Liv was like being overwhelmed. I think that they were miscast. I think if this had been a face versus face match, people might have been more into it. Or if Liv was the heel, Becky was the face. They really sabotaged Becky. And I don't care if this is her idea. Not everyone's idea is fucking, it's her idea to like bathe in dog shit. All right, well, that's fucking stupid. Tell her not to bathe in dog shit.
Bathe in dog shit.
You know, it's like, she was over, man. And she's not over. Because people want to cheer her. It's like Austin. Dude, like, in the middle of 2001, Austin stopped getting any reactions. Like, well, we want to cheer you, but like, you're going so hard out of your way. Like, why are you doing that? Like we're not over cheering you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It's like when Hogan turned heel, people were over cheering. People were like just done with him. And they really, and they enjoyed booing him. But Becky is not at that point.
No, you're
so she's not. Why would you do this? And it hurts the other women because nobody wants to cheer. They don't want to really cheer for Liv, but they also like don't want to. So they're just left on not giving a shit. That was the thing. It's like, people just don't give a shit about this match. And Liv Morgan, I could see, was in her head. And it doesn't do any of them any favors. No one favors.
I think they turned Becky Lynch heel because they don't want her to be as popular.
No, they don't. They don't. They don't want anyone. They don't want Hogan ever again.
Yeah.
Or even because
Becky Lynch was at Hogan level.
Yeah.
And then what happened? And then she got pregnant and she left. And I don't think they want that. They were like, we don't want you to have the power. We want to have the power, you know? So we're going to take away everything that made you special, right?
And then we're going to put this horrible name on you.
Yeah.
I mean, that name is like,
I
would get, that's like calling Stone Cold Steve Austin Moneybag McGee. Like, I don't know, like just throwing that on him in 2001.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Vince pays him big bucks. No, that's money.
We're just gonna call you Rattlesnake now. We're just gonna call you Rattlesnake.
No. Like a rapping rattlesnake, like something like you know what I mean? Like you just add like a weird name.
Rock, we're just gonna change your name to the Brahma Bull from now on. You're just gonna be called the Brahma Bull,
anymore. The Becky Charlotte match worked because
it felt real.
That worked. But and the crowd was into it, and Becky was kind of playing a face, but also they were both kind of just playing like bitches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like this doesn't work, and like because people don't care enough about Liv.
Yeah,
it was bad.
It was a pony match. Becky Lynch was not a believable heel. She was somebody who's playing heel. Liv Morgan is playing wrestler in this match. I, for one thing, and this is hard. This I don't care. She's from Jersey because I am from Jersey, and I would like to root for her, but it doesn't matter. To me, Liv Morgan experiment is over. It's over. It's done.
Get rid of her.
I said, get rid of her. She's done. Kevin Patrick is in the back with Seth Rollins. Who is now Seth freaking Rollins, 100%. That's how his name comes up. I do enjoy this cackling Seth Rollins gimmick.
It's so bad, it's good.
Yeah, it's so bad, it's good. Don't you feel that way? He's like,
You know what I was saying to somebody about him is, like, you can tell he's a really boring person. And this is him. Like, he's almost like an alien. Like, I think this is what Wacky's like. Because I've never been Wacky. Like, he's just such a... He always seems so forced when he tries to have a personality.
Yeah, but I like this. It's so over the top that, like, I like it. He's wearing, like, the fucking fur coats. And he's going... Every single thing. He's like a caricature. He's just a caricature, which I think is fun. I like it. I actually like it. It's so over the top. I like wrestling that's like over the fucking top. Yeah. You know, just fucking ridiculous because that's what it's always been. And that's what it is, overreacting, overacting, everything. So I liked it. Then they show you a fucking, I guess it's like a fucking TikTok video or some shit or Instagram video of Johnny Knoxville announcing that he is now in the Royal Rumble. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Well, that's because the Jackass movie is now coming out near the Royal Rumble, so they probably want to promote it.
Yeah, yeah, but he's got to be in it.
I think it's like the same deal they had with when the Survivor Series was tied into the Rock movie on Netflix. They're going to tie Royal Rumble into Jackass 4.
Yeah, that's fine.
People got annoyed, but I'm like, dude, they're going to keep doing this. I guarantee you they got a couple
of yeah, money. Yeah, of course. You know why? Because they're going to get money from it, you know? Yeah. So this company, people forget. It's they're the number one thing that WWE is for money. It's like any other company. You got to make money. That's the whole point, you know?
Somebody was like, Johnny Knoxville's taking a spot away from someone on the roster. Like, no, he's not. They're probably we're gonna bring in either DDP or have fucking Chad Gable get thrown out of the ring after 4 seconds.
You know what's so funny about that? When I was younger, I used to think like that. Like, oh,
this is a 4-year-old man
taking somebody's spot. I'm like, but now you think about it, like whose spot was he gonna take? Somebody who's gonna be in there for a fucking minute? He's gonna be in there for a fucking minute? Get the fuck out of here.
When they had Lawrence Taylor, for example. If he had said no, they just would have went for someone else. They were going to be like, all right, I guess we'll get Bob Holly the main event. No, they're going to go for another celebrity. They would have asked another guy. Like, they had in their head, we need a celebrity to sell this Mania. And they were going to keep asking. And then, like, if they didn't get the celebrity, nobody was going to get that push. And that's the thing they don't seem to get. Johnny Knoxville, if Bad Bunny said no, they would have had Justin Bieber wrestling The Miz. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Yeah. It's not like they were gonna. Not like Bad Bunny said we're gonna give Otis the belt. But
yeah, WWE's always been doing this for as long as I've been watching it, and it is what it is, guys. It is what it is.
Oh no! Now, oh no! Fucking Carlito can't come back again.
And, oh no! That would have been Humberto Carrillo's spot. You asshole! He would have won. He's in the Lotharios now. Yeah, it would have been his spot. You guys fucking took away his Rumble spot. All right, let's go to time for the main event, match number 6. It is the main event, 5-way match for the WWE title. Order of entrance, Seth Rollins out first, then Kevin Owens, then Bobby Lashley, then the WWE champion Big E, and Lashley comes out last. This is just a fucking smash em up match. Lesnar doing suplex, 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 F5s, F5s. There is a point where Big E did look strong. There were points where Big E brought the fight to Lesnar, like he fucking clotheslined him outside the ring. And then when he's outside the ring, Lashley fucking spears Lesnar due to barricades. Crowd super into this match. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens works as a team, and they use fucking steel steps on Lesnar. But ultimately, Lesnar's in there, F5s to everybody. He accepts. For fucking Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley spears him, puts the fucking the hurt lock on him, but Big E
doesn't break loose.
Does not break loose. Lesnar does not break the fucking hurt lock, but he doesn't tap out because Big E attacks Lashley and then hits the fucking big ending on Lashley, tries to hit a big ending on Lesnar. Lesnar turns it into the F5 and wins and is now the new WWE champion. Fucking crowd, half the crowd was stunned because this match wasn't that long. It was short. It was like boom, 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 boom. It's over. And I was like, holy shit. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I thought it was the best match of the night.
It's a good match.
You know what? Like when Brock Lesnar came out, his reaction was so above everyone else on this fucking show.
Yes.
Like, you can't argue that Big E should have like won retained. It's like none of these, like, and it's WWE's fault. It's not like actually, Brock is the smartest guy because he has kept himself over from a Brock, not the other way around. But Brock is so much more over than these guys. Like, of course, you should get him the belt in this situation. I think it's time. It's been time for fucking 5 years now, but now it's time to do Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar.
I think that's happening.
Either you do that at the Rumble, or I think this is a good thing that this happened because I think Or if you could wait till Mania to have those two clash, it's time to have that match, dude. When they were in the ring, I'm like, I've been waiting 20 years for these two. Almost, yeah, like, well, 2005. I remember the moment Bobby Lashley walked out into the people were like, oh, it'd be so cool if Brock came back and they fought.
Yes.
And it's time. No more fucking around. Whatever you were going to do with Roman, abandon ship and go with Bobby and Brock. It's time.
Yeah, I think they're going that direction. Because
they better.
Even after the match, when Lesnar's holding the belt, he is staring at Lashley. And Lashley, they show the camera pants at both of them. They're like, oh, Lashley's staring at Lesnar and so forth. And I think that is going to be the WrestleMania. I really do think that is. If they were smart, they would make that the WrestleMania.
I don't think they should do Roman Lesnar. If you want, fucking have, after you get over the Raw storyline, you can have Lesnar go back to Roman in the summer and be like, you
would duck me. What about Drew and Roman?
Yeah, I guess you could do that. I don't really want to see that. I would do Bron Breakker, Roman. I mean, yeah, Bron Breakker.
Okay, so here's some questions now that this ending left open up, okay? WWE Championship is on Raw.
Yeah.
Lesnar won it now. So what happens now?
He's just on Raw now. He said he can do both brands.
He can do both brands. So he's going to be showing up on Raw and SmackDown.
He could go to SmackDown. They could try the unification match. I don't think they should do a unification match.
I don't think they will do unification match. You know why? Because Raw and SmackDown are two different networks, and I think they want their own champion.
Yeah, so, I don't think because then Fox and NBC would be like, if whoever the champ is, like, they're like, well, Roman – they're going to get jealous if Roman doesn't show up on Raw or SmackDown. Or
exactly.
Yeah, so I would just abandon ship on the Roman storyline with Brock and go down the Lashley-Lesnar road.
So Lesnar is going to be –
They could technically still do Lesnar-Roman. They can do whatever they want. They could do Lesnar versus
Roman. All I'm thinking is I'm thinking from, like, network point of view. Right, there's a reason why they put Lesnar on Fox, right? Probably Fox is like, we want the fucking big guy, right? We want the fucking big name star.
What they could be doing is they wanted to make up that, you know, that was the match everybody paid money to see. So maybe like, well, to make up, we'll have Lesnar win the belt tonight, and maybe at the Rumble, Lesnar will lose the belt to whoever, and then they'll go back to Roman Lesnar at Mania.
Okay.
That's maybe I think like when Roman, if they really did not know until 6 o'clock, I think the right call was let Lesnar win the belt because at least the crowd can be like, we saw a title change.
We saw something. Yes.
We saw like something. Now there's going to be like a big change. Cause if you just had like fucking Bob Big E win, it's like, oh, well, we missed the match and that wasn't really that exciting. And I think you needed to do something to shake it up because of Roman potentially. And you know, there also the thing is, what if COVID doesn't go well for Roman? So,
yeah, because like after the show, I was thinking, man, they're probably gonna do Lesnar versus Lashley.
You could do Lesnar versus Big E at the Rumble, then do Lesnar Lashley at the WrestleMania.
Yes, that's what I think is gonna happen, and I think Drew and Roman, they didn't touch gloves yet, right? They didn't go.
That's in Survivor Series 2020.
Yeah, so I would do Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre because I feel like that's what they were building for anyway. That's why when they moved Drew over, you know, they kept them separated for a reason. You know, I was like, oh, they're probably gonna go to this eventually at WrestleMania, which I think is gonna happen. So I would assume that would maybe mean they're gonna either, they didn't strip Roman, so Roman is still the champion over there, right? And
Because we don't know. This might be like what I went through, where it is what it is, or you know, because of his because he's immunocompromised, this might really fuck him up. We don't know yet. It's a scary situation. It's depressing, dude. It's depressing that we went through all of this to, like, with no crowds, we're going to all sit at home, da da da. And now, like, we're just letting people like Roman, who this could really fuck him up. We're just letting these people get it now. It's, like, so depressing. It's like,
well, you know what it is? In the back when that was happening, there was no vaccine.
Yeah, right? I'm sure he's triple vaxxed, but I mean that it still kicked my butt and I'm vaxxed, so
not triple.
Yeah, not triple, but you know, but Roman, but also Roman had cancer. I didn't have cancer, so.
You actually sound pretty good right now. You actually sound normal.
Yeah, I think.
I swear you fucking do it for the fucking video.
The Pennsylvania air cleared up my performing too. All right, I mean, I thought it was the show had good points and bad points. I would say just watch the Randy Orton match and the Brock Lesnar match.
Yeah, the Brock Lesnar match is short. I don't even think it's fucking 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was just a lot of fun. It was exciting.
It's like it's like a boom, boom, boom.
Not everything. Like, not everything needs to be a Tony Khan 30-minute jerk-off fest. So.
Yeah.
Some matches, dude, like one of my favorite matches is Goldberg Raven. And that match was like 3 minutes. It doesn't, not everything needs to be drawn out.
So. You know, here's the thing. And speaking of Tony Khan, I thought, in my head, I was like the TBS tournament finals. Most likely, Ruby Soho was going to win it, right? But now, after what happened this weekend, I bet you fucking stupid-ass Jade Cargill wins it.
I think they stick to the guns and give it to Ruby Soho. I don't think Jade's ready. Yeah, I know about this whole
disruption. She's not ready. She's fucking terrible. Ugh.
Yeah.
That's how I know this company is not racist, because AEW is not racist, because if they put Jade Cargill and Brandi on TV, and it's not because of their talent. They just put them on.
Somebody wants to fuck them.
Well, still, it's like it's proof that, hey, we'll put anybody in these.
Let's talk about it, bro. So, Tony Khan, I get to my show and I check Twitter, and Tony Khan has tweets out that AEW is very diverse and we let Big Swole go because she's not a good wrestler, right? And I'm like, oh, what did Big Swole say? And I'm thinking she called Tony Khan a racist or went down this road. And what she said was, whether you agree what she said, disagree, she never said anything bad about Tony Khan. Mm-hmm. She just said they could do a better job being diverse. They could do a better job at representing Black people. And it was not bad criticism. It was like criticism that if some...
It wasn't like positive criticism either.
But it wasn't like Tony Khan's a racist. It was just like they could do better.
Yeah, but she was making a point of saying, I left because there's a lack of diversity.
Well, I think she knew they weren't ever going to push her.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I don't actually agree with 100% of everything Big Swole said, but it doesn't fucking matter. You know, that doesn't really matter. This is her opinion. She can have it. Now, here's the problem. Tony Khan, in response to this, goes, we actually have a lot of diversity here. I'm a minority. The other co-owner is a minority.
You're not a minority, if you're a billionaire.
I released Big Swole because she basically sucks at wrestling. And it's like, dude, why are you doing that? You are an authority figure. You are a person of power. And you can't do that because you cannot – you're punching down. Well, punch down. You can't do that.
Here's the problem with that. So people pulled up quotes where he talked about Big Swole in the past and how good of a great wrestler she is. So exactly. I don't think Big Swole's a good wrestler, right? That's besides
the point. She's not bad. She had a really good finishing move. I love it. Dirty
dancing. But here's the thing with Big Swole. You either lied when you said she was a good wrestler, which means how can anyone trust anything you say? Mm-hmm. You might fucking think that Anna Jay's a sack of shit too. I don't know. Or you might think that Luke Harper wasn't that great either, but I don't know if I can trust anything you say because you lied, or you're lying now and you just come across as a bitter piece of shit. So what is it?
That's how I took it. Bitter?
When were you lying?
That's how I took it. And it sounds like, you know, like I said to you, like when a girl breaks up with a guy and he goes, but no, I'm breaking up with you because you're fucking not, you're ugly or some shit. Like it's just petty.
If he does think she's a good wrestler, and then it makes what he said yesterday even worse, because it's like, you're a fucking little bitch. But it also makes it like, I thought you were like wrestling. Why are you hiring people you don't think are good wrestlers? Like,
let it be known that you and I, we're both never on the 20 contract. We're all like, yo, you guys, he's not some fucking saint, man. He's not some savior. He's a fucking billionaire, junior.
He's a billionaire that was never told no. He had an opportunity to book his fantasy league, and he's booking it like a message board guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he gets pissed when we criticize him.
Yes.
In his mind, he's like, I'm one of you. I'm on the message boards. You should be down what I'm doing. Because you all complain that you wanted Hogan and Savage booked like this. You wanted Austin booked like this. I'm doing it. Aren't you? You should just always constantly want to blow me. And no, you suck. The show's, you don't know how to, you don't know how to book.
This was Tony Khan's true color. Mm-hmm. This is how he really is in real life.
Yeah. He does not know how to book anyone like a star. He does not know.
He is, Khan is, TK is, what do you call it? He's been very good up to this point of wearing a mask, right? Yeah. And this was like the first sign of how he really is as a person. So I hope everybody understands that he's just a fucking human being like everybody else. He ain't no fucking saint. He is not doing AEW for you. He is doing it for himself and to make money. And by the way, he doesn't do a great job on it as well. You know, he could book way better. You know what I would do? Stop fucking booking the show. Hire some people who are actually experienced and knowledgeable in wrestling and have them fucking.
Well, she also had a great point. People got mad when she said this. She said, not everyone's comfortable just talking. Sometimes you do need a writer. And yes. They got mad. And I don't think they need like a team of writers, but I do think you kind of need like a Mike Lawrence. He'd be a good guy to kind of like guide some of these people.
One thing about Big Swole that, like I said, I don't 100% agree with her diversity mm-hmm. thing, because I was like, I don't know. I do see a lot more diversity on AEW than I would on like WWE. Yeah. But when she said that there was like less structure there, right? I was like, you could totally see that there's less structure.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the way they fucking miss camera shots, and look at the way sometimes like storylines don't follow through. I'm like, there's 100% less structure there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Or like they like some weeks that he just won't follow up on a storyline, you know, yeah, so he's gonna bring exactly. it up. And I could see that. And I agree. I do think they need a few people there helping him write the show.
Yes.
It's not a writer. Look, Vince didn't have writers in the 80s, but he still had Bruce and Pat and Gerald Briscoe helping him write the fucking show.
He had Pat Patterson, who was like doing everything in the business, right? Yeah. He had like the Briscoes, he has fucking Michael Hayes. He's got Jim Ross would be there. He would have fucking Jerry Jarrett. And you're telling me he's had Cornette, he's got and you're telling me Tony Khan. This isn't even his only job. He's got other jobs as well.
Unlike Vince, he owns a football team and a soccer team. By the way, the soccer team fans hate him. They think he's one of the worst soccer owners on the planet.
Yeah. You're telling me this guy who's got multiple jobs, this is not booking a wrestling company is not his only job. You're telling me this guy who has multiple jobs and he still has time to fucking book the show and fucking do interviews, every fucking shitty wrestling podcast interview there is to do. You're telling me this guy does a better job booking the show than the fucking council of wrestlers, people in wrestling who was fucking booking WWE? Get the fuck out of here. That just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That
would, he's booking for the message boards, but they're never going to go beyond those people, and the fact that he won't even listen to, hey, some of us don't feel comfortable just saying whatever we want. It would be nice to have someone back there to help us with our words, and that gets him like that's valid. Like,
yeah,
some people are not. That's why you used to have managers, and like that's how somebody like fucking Akeem got over, because Slick would talk for him and shit. You know?
She did point out like she butted heads with. I think people sweep this under the rug, but it looked like a lot of her problems came with Kenny Omega.
Yeah, but well, I think Kenny was booking the women a lot at the beginning. And I think
he was. And I don't think he was doing... All in all, basically, AEW is definitely... I know a lot of people love it, and I enjoy it too. I'm glad it's around. But it's only going to go up to a certain point where the honeymoon stage is basically
over. Well, I mean, I think if he, let's say Roman Reigns and like, let's say Roman Reigns and Randy Orton leave tonight, and Vince is like, you know what, you guys can go wherever you want right away, but they have some big falling out. I think he's going to book them into meaning nothing like he did with CM Punk. There'll be a big thing when Roman Reigns walks out and goes, you know, acknowledge me to fucking Hangman Page and stuff. And then I think he's just going to book those guys. Randy Orton's going to be on Rampage fighting fucking Matt Sydal. You know what I mean? Like, he's just – and he doesn't know how to make people special. He doesn't know how to present. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think he doesn't know how – I don't know. It's just – you know, I don't know. Yeah, they're always going to be a certain level, no matter who they get. And then, yeah,
they, I mean, to be fair, they were always pitching to the niche market, right? And I think in their heads, they were thinking, if we make this niche market happy, right? We just work on this niche market. Eventually, it's going to grow, and it's going to become mainstream. Which I think that's what they're planning.
Yeah,
and I also think wasn't a bad strategy, but the longer this is going on, the more I realize that there's a reason why you don't pitch to the niche market. Cause you eventually just stay there. It never really gets mainstream.
You kind of need to have people that are larger than life, or, you know, like Roman Reigns doesn't wrestle a lot on SmackDown, but he goes out. Mm-hmm. And he's interesting, and then when he has matches, it means a lot, you know.
Yeah, it's what is it like? They're still gonna make money if they just focus on the niche. They're still gonna make money. They're still gonna be popular.
They're just never gonna go beyond.
They're never gonna get above where they are.
Yeah,
as far as like, they're never gonna be the top wrestling company. They're always gonna be like a number two. And let's be honest, at this point, there might be a strong number two, but there is still a very distant number two. They're a distant number two.
They've always been very weird about criticism, and the fans too are very weird about criticism. And I get it when it was only a few shows in. Mm-hmm. I get it when it's a year in. It's 2 years now. You need to start listening to criticism. You need to start realizing that not everything you do is fucking perfect. And that goes for everyone in that stupid company. Like, grateful because you're putting on a wrestling show. That chip is sailed. You need to start fixing your problems.
You have to start addressing it. The problems without going like, well, bitch, you sucked anyway. You sucked. I'm getting rid of you. You sucked. Yeah, yeah. It's fucking stupid. You're a 40-year-old man, Tony Khan, who is in charge of other people's livelihoods. You need to be more as the young kids would say, because you're hip, be better. Do better, you know? Be more professional. That's about it. That's about it. There is Rampage, I would say. There is probably the best Tay Conti match you'll see.
Yeah, I have no interest in
watch. Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like
that was the best match I've seen her.
I don't like when that women bleed like that. I think it's fucking gross. I don't like that shit.
Nah, I like those all right.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. All right. You're just uncomfortable with women bleeding.
I know. I just think it's stupid to have them like they're Dusty Rhodes. I think it's dumb. Like,
everybody wants to be Dusty in that company.
I know. Like, it's just fucking stupid. It's like, why are women jigging themselves? Like, that's just so fucking you don't need to have them do that. You can get them over other ways. Sasha Banks isn't cutting herself up bleeding on fucking people. And she's like,
you know what it is?
Dude, the most improved and I think most consistent star WWE had this year was Bianca Belair. When did she bleed? When did she fucking when was she called a whore? None of that.
You know what happened? You know what it is this. Becky Lynch was going up, and then remember when Nia Jax?
Yeah, that was an accident. Open? That one liked because it was natural.
Let me explain. Yeah, it was an accident. I'm not saying it wasn't on purpose. It was an accident, but that made her skyrocket. And here's the thing: on AEW, Britt Baker had a match with Sheeta, right? And this is when Britt Baker was still like, people weren't buying her. Mm-hmm. She had an accidental she got accidental blood too, and mm-hmm. that's where people were like, holy shit. And then that's where he started elevating. And I think because of those two examples, people are like, we gotta fucking get busted open. I think that's where it comes
from. Look, when it's a natural one like Becky Lynch, and she's working with it, and she improved all that, I think that's great. But I think so we're going to cut you open, Bunny, and you're going to bleed like fucking Buzz Sawyer in 81. I think that is just so fucking dumb. And I don't think women need to do that. I think that they just don't need to do that. I think it's fucking stupid. It doesn't look cool to me. It looks weird, you know?
I, for one, is always I've always been uncomfortable with the any
yeah, face. Even men do it. Even when men do it,
I think it looks fucking stupid.
Especially, I know, like,
you can't, when Cody does it, I think it's fucking dumb.
And I think, like, I don't know. I just think it doesn't look good. I think it appeals, like, these weirdos in the basement. But I think, like, if a woman that watches, like, Total Divas or something puts that on, and these four cute women are bleeding all over each other, like, what the fuck is this goofy shit? Like, they're gonna shut it up.
Yeah, but that's what they're doing. They're pitching to the niche market.
I know, but it's like, dude, Bianca Belair, she had great matches. She looked tough. They put her in Hell in a Cell. She never bled, and she was never called a whore. That's the other thing, too. They constantly called women whores.
Like, do they really?
Well, they fucking implicate, like, Brandy, you're a stripper. That's a stripper's name. They always do those insults. We're talking about how MJF said, you just want to fuck Britt Baker. They always bring up
the whore.
You get what I'm saying. It's always brought up that somebody wants to try to fuck the women, or you're a stripper, Brandy, or this, that. He went really, like, low at insulting Brandy. And there's so many things you can insult Brandy before you call her a stripper and stuff. And, like, I don't know. They just have this weird thing with women there.
I think there's a weird thing with women there, too. But we have yet to see what exactly.
Because the thing about it is, Vince has a weird thing with women always, but he kind of, like, has suppressed it for money reasons. Like, he's like, all right, we need to be a little more sensitive.
Yeah, he's the same guy who used to make women bark and shit.
Yeah, but he's, like, turned it, because he knows he's making money with Bianca and Sasha, you know, and I think he knows he'd lose the money. If Bianca got all, although I thought I would die laughing. If they got Bianca and all Forrest bark, made her bark like a dog, and then make out with Vince, I mean, they would lose that audience. But AEW still has, like, this weird thing towards women that they can't get rid of. I don't know what it is. It's weird.
It's because of that. It's because that group. That niche group. Okay, that niche group.
Well, the niche, it's the incel. They're promoting
that niche group. It's filled with a lot of losery men. That's just the whole. I hate to say it. That's what it is. A lot of.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah.
Attractive men who are not good at socially engaging with women, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to target that group, you have to book it for them, and they like shit like this.
Yeah, no,
like,
I know.
Fucking bloody shit. That's why it's so weird. Because,
dude, it would be, dude. Can you imagine the fucking reaction if Bianca Belair made out with Vince? Oh, they should book it now just to see people.
Yeah. You know, there's probably guys who are masturbating to that fucking Rampage match.
Oh yeah, there were people saying that basically on Squared Circle Reddit.
Yeah, it's fucking, you know, that's a weird fan base. AEW's fan base is a fucking weird fan base.
It's really, and it's very weird, and it's very, like, they really, I've never seen anything this new. Like, people, like, love Star Wars or Star Trek, but those things have been around for, like, decades and decades. But I've never seen something this new have people this devoted to it. Like, people were devoted to this in the summer of 2020. I'm like, this is still too new for me to feel any type of connection to this. Like, even now.
It's because the wrestling fan base it's because the wrestling fan base, in my opinion, is probably one of the worst fan bases of anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's filled with, like, weird, perverted, disgusting, like, low IQ people.
Yeah, it really is. But they all think they're smart.
Yeah, and if you don't believe me, go to some wrestling indie shows. Like, go and actually start engaging some of these people, and you'll see what we're fucking talking about.
Dude, you know what pissed me off yesterday? Sean Ross Sapp. People are like, are you going to comment on what Tony Khan said? He goes, it's not my place to say something. I think we need to listen to voices of color or some shit. And Dave Meltzer's like, I have a very complicated response, and I need to put this in long form. It's like, but if Vince farts in the wrong direction, you guys have something to say real fucking fast. Yeah. Like, why don't you have, really, you can't say, like, that was fucking stupid? That's all you need to say.
Yeah, it was fucking stupid. Dude, you don't even have to say whether or not you agree with Big Swole or not. You could just say, dude, when you're, like, the fucking leader of a company, like, you own the fucking company, and one of your disgruntled employees, like, says something, don't tweet.
Dude, they were,
don't say anything, you know?
I kind of thought it was dumb, but I also, like, they're so, like, what do they think Tony Khan's gonna do, beat them up? Like, they just won't criticize this guy. It's the weirdest thing, man. Anyway, we've been ranting long enough. I hate everyone.
Yeah. We really shit on the wrestling fan base. We're really like calling them prophetic men. They're just like the creepy.
it's just like, okay, I didn't think Becky and Liv had that great of a match. I guarantee you I'm going to like their match more than the Anna Jay match. I just think this thing is fucked. I would say the same thing. Like if you like fucking, if even if like, okay, 1990, if Ms. Elizabeth said you can hit me with a chair and then throw me through a flaming table and I'll come up and I'll be bleeding. And if somebody pitched that to Vince, I would expect Vince to fire that person. Like, why would I do that to Ms. Elizabeth? That's fucking stupid. Yeah,
that's different. That's it. She's not a wrestler. She's a valet.
But I think like Anna Jay and Ty Khan, these four women like models. I think it's fucking stupid to be doing this to them. I think it's thumbtacks.
I'm okay with it. I just don't like the fact when people are.
They have thumbtacks, right?
Yeah, they did thumbtacks.
That's the other thing. I just don't think everybody should. I think like you should reserve shit like that too. Like, if fucking Taka Michinoku and fucking Jerry Lawler putting out thumbtacks every other match in 1998, that doesn't make Mankind special. You know, like thumbtacks, that should be reserved for like when you want to, like, wow, this person's crazy. It loses its meaning.
In AEW, they do it to blow off, like, feuds.
I just think, like, there has to be, like, only a person this depraved would have thumbtacks in this shit. These are just four fucking...
No, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you in that sense. I agree. Like thumbtacks should be reserved for, like, one person who's deranged. And anytime he has, like, a fucking big match, he has to use it. But, like, I'm just explaining the AEW.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
And, like, I thought the match was fine. I'm just not a big fan of people fucking...
I don't like that.
I think that's stupid.
I think the time for that shit is past. It is.
It's fucking 2022. Everybody fucking like when you cut yourself from the fucking head, we all like when you're bleeding from the forehead, we all know you fucking cut yourself.
Yeah, and it's like, why am I impressed by that? Like, I'm not impressed by that.
I'm not impressed.
If it's hard way, it's different. Yeah. But like, I'm not impressed by that. You cut yourself. It's fucking.
Yeah. Like when you like, and this goes for anybody. I don't care if you're a fucking mini wrestler, if you're a woman or a man. Like when Cody does it, it's fucking stupid. Especially since he does it in every fucking match. It's dumb. Dude, stop trying to be like your dad. Just fucking please stop. It's just fucking weird.
Yeah, baby.
Anyways, yeah.
All right. All right. We will be back. Maybe sometime this week. Who knows? With COVID or anything. But we'll see you guys soon.
We hate AEW.
Yeah.